But 1 Peter chapter number 2, we're going to continue the thought we were in this morning. We were talking about the helps that we have in the race. And one of the helps that we have in the race, we said several weeks ago, was the Spirit of God. And then we said one of the helps that we have in the race is the house of God. So we have the Spirit of God that indwells the Christian, is there to give comfort and counsel and control us as Christians. And then we talked about the house of God and some of the things that we desire to see at the house of God. We want to see the preeminence of Jesus. We want to see souls being a priority, so the priority of souls. So because souls are a priority, we want to preach the gospel and see souls come to trust Christ, not only here in our church, but we want to be a missions-minded church and see souls saved across our world as well. And so the priority of souls, and then we want to be able to understand that the house of God is also a place in which there is provision for all believers. And so we talked about the helps that we have, the Spirit of God, and then the house of God. And then this morning we talked about the help that we have in the Christian race when it comes to the Word of God. So we've got the Spirit of God, we've got the house of God, but we also have the Word of God. And we talked about the importance of God's Word and how it is a help to us this morning. We talked about the nature of God's Word, and we used many words to describe the Word of God this morning. We talked about its nature, and then we talked about how valuable the Word of God is, or the value of God's Word, and then we talked about the power of God's Word. And so tonight, I want to continue that thought, and I want to tonight talk to us as a church family about how we are to respond to God's Word. How do we respond to God's Word? If we want it to be a help to us in our Christian race, what should our response be to the Word of God? And I want to give you a few things tonight that I trust will be an encouragement to you tonight. And I would imagine that you probably could list the things that I'm going to give you, maybe perhaps with different wording or maybe in a different way. But I think what you'll see is the things that I will give you tonight, or the truths that we're going to see from the Word of God tonight, are things that we have either at times in our life already applied, or we're endeavoring to apply as a Christian when it comes to our response to God's Word. The Bible, of course, is so vital for our Christian life. Remember, we opened the message this morning, and we went to Job chapter 23, where Job said in verse number 12 that he esteemed the words of the Lord even more than his necessary food. He laid them up. He stored those words so that he could meditate upon them, so that he could find comfort in them. And they were more necessary than even food that he would take physically that would sustain him. We see the Word of God as being a necessity, don't we? It's a necessary thing. That would be our attitude towards the Word of God. It's a necessity in our lives. And so I want us to notice tonight, as valuable as this book is to us, what is the way that we are to respond to the Word of God? The first thing I want us to notice is this. We ought to long for God's Word. We ought to long for God's Word. I want us to look in 1 Peter chapter number 2. And I want us to see 1 Peter chapter number 2, a thought that's given here for Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, it says this: as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, as Christians, we notice something in chapter number 1 of 1 Peter, and then we notice some things in chapter number 2 of 1 Peter. As Christians, we are all children in the same family, aren't we? Which means that as Christians, being all children in the same family, we have a lot of things in common, don't we? But the sad reality is even though we have a lot in common, and even though we ought to live in unity all the time, the reality is that there are some times in which we probably don't live in unity or maybe in harmony like we ought to. But because we have so much in common, we ought to live in unity. And one of the things that we ought to be in unity on as God's children is God's Word. We ought to be in unity when it comes to God's Word. Because we all, as God's children, have an opportunity to all enjoy nourishment from the same book, don't we? As Christians, as children of God, one of the things that we have in common is that we can take this book, the Bible, God's Word, and every single one of us can enjoy nourishment from it. And that's what God's trying to say here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. God's Word has life, and it gives life, and God's Word nourishes our life as well. So let's notice some words that we find here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. It says, as newborn babes, notice this word, desire, desire. We should have an appetite for the Word of God, shouldn't we? We ought to desire the Word of God. Now, I use this word, we ought to long for it. But we ought to have an appetite for the Word of God. Just like a hungry newborn baby desires that next feeding. And I tell you what, we're really experiencing that right now at our home. Just the moment in which Adeline needs fed. And if you don't get right on it, she'll let you know. She's got an appetite. She's got a desire to eat. But you know, the illustration applies to us as Christians as well, doesn't it? The nourishment that we find in God's Word. And just as a newborn babe desire that milk, that nourishment, that feeding when it comes time, we as God's children ought to have an appetite for the Word of God. We ought to long for it. We talked this morning about how that Job said, I long for it even more than my necessary food. We ought to long for it more than food. We ought to long for it more than money. We ought to long for it even more than sleep. Just a desire that we have to be fed and to be nourished and to have an appetite for the Word of God. But then notice what it says in the verse. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. That word sincere has the idea of pure. We should want the pure Word of God. Now, we talked about this morning. Every word of God is pure, isn't it? We know that God's Word is inerrant. We talked about it this morning when we dealt with the nature of God's Word. It's inerrant. Throughout the entire Bible, there is not one error that you would ever be able to find. God's words are pure. God's words are true. And those are the words that we ought to desire as children of God. We ought to want the pure Word of God. Why is that? Because that's what's going to help us to grow, isn't it? The pure Word of God is going to help us to grow. But what's sad is that perhaps maybe there's a Christian that's sitting here tonight, or perhaps maybe in your Christian life, you have had a time in which you didn't have an appetite for the Word of God. You didn't have a longing for the Word of God as He says that we ought to have, like we ought to have. A desire for the sincere milk of the Word. But instead, Christians can get to a place where they're fed by entertainment instead. Fed by something else instead of God's Word, the preaching of it, the reading of it, the meditating of it, the memorizing of it. And as we grow in the Lord, there ought to be a continual desire to long for that Word. We realize that word that's being spoken of here, that milk that's being spoken of here, is for babes. But in our Christian life, there comes a time in which we grow, and then we get to take the strong meat of the Word of God, don't we? We start to mature as a Christian. We're desiring the sincere milk of the Word as a newborn babe in Christ. But then we mature as a Christian. We're growing as we're being fed and nourished by the Word of God. And then we get to a place where we want the strong meat, don't we? I want you to real quickly turn to a parallel passage with this. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter number 5 for just a moment. And when you find Hebrews chapter 5, would you look at verse number 12, and then we'll read down to the end of the chapter. And let's notice that we grow as we long for the Word of God, and then the milk is given to the newborn babe, but then the strong meat comes for those who are mature. Look at verse 12, it says in Hebrews 5, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. A difference there, isn't it? Like the newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word, but then a mature believer starts to eat on that meat, doesn't he? And then look at verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, notice verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age or maturing in their Christian life, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the Bible refers to milk being for the newborn babe, and then meat being for the mature Christian. We talked this morning about how the Bible also refers to itself as honey, sweet to the mouth, sweet to the taste. The Bible also refers to itself as bread. Remember, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the Bible is our bread. The Bible is sweet to our taste like the honey. The Bible is milk for the newborn babe and meat for the mature Christian. But then I want you to notice here, when we're in 1 Peter chapter number 2, and I hope you'll flip back there where we were, we read verse number 1, but I wanted to go back up to verse number 1 because sometimes children or maybe even ourselves as adults can get to this place where we have no appetite like we should because we've been eating the wrong things. Or maybe we have no appetite or no hunger like we should when it comes to mealtime because we've ate perhaps right before the meal was served. Did you ever have your parents tell you, hey, you can't take that right now because if you take it, it'll spoil your dinner. Did you ever hear that one? Oh, man, mom baking those cookies. Man laying it out there real nice and warm. Those are the ones you want to grab, right? Don't take those because if you take those, it'll spoil your dinner. You won't have the appetite like you need to have at the dinner table. Well, notice in the verses that we're reading here in 1 Peter chapter number 2 that Peter encourages them that sometimes we can get to a point in which our appetite for God's word is not what it should be because we have to lay aside some wrong attitudes. Notice what he says up in verse number 1. He gives a list of them. He says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings. And then he goes into the verse that we just talked about. Wrong attitudes can cause a loss of appetite for the pure word of God. So Peter encourages them, as newborn babes are going to desire that milk, in order for you to take of that pure milk, you've got to lay aside the wrong attitudes that at times stand in the way. As we have those wrong attitudes, it can get us to a place where we stop feeding on the Word of God. And if we stop feeding on the Word of God, what happens next? We stop growing, don't we? Because remember what verse number 2 said at the very end? It said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may what? That ye may grow thereby. If we stop feeding on the Word, we're going to stop growing. And when we stop growing, guess what happens? We stop enjoying all of the goodness that the Lord has for us in our lives. Hey, let's have a strong appetite to long for the things of God in His Word, to long for His Word and the things that we find in His Word. Let's make sure we lay aside attitudes that would hinder us from having the appetite that we need to have for the pure Word of God. Let's make sure we're feeding so that we can grow. And grow so that we can enjoy all the blessings that God has for us to enjoy as a Christian. Let me ask this when it comes to longing for the Word of God. Would you be able to be like Mary in Luke chapter number 10? Let me read it real quick. Luke chapter 10 down to verse number 38. The Bible says of Mary, I know you're familiar with this verse and this passage, but it says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Notice what Mary did, sat at his feet and heard his word. She was listening to the word, wasn't she? She was listening to the word that Jesus had given, which, by the way, that was God's word, wasn't it? Notice what it says in verse 40. But Mary was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Now, throughout the morning service, we referred many times back to what we said about Job. What did Job say was necessary? Even more necessary than my physical food, Job said, is my spiritual food. My pulling up to the table and eating spiritually, right? He said, that's the thing that's needful. That's the thing that's necessary. And that's what Jesus says to Martha. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary had chosen that which was needful. Do you long for God's word as Mary did? That you would lay aside the cares and the concerns and the troubles of the day to say it is so vital, it is so necessary, it is so important to again pull up to the spiritual table and allow God to feed us that spiritual food. So number one, longing for the word of God. That's how we respond to God's word. We long for it. And then number two, we need to learn from God's word. We need to learn from God's word. I want you to look at a passage of scripture that's found in the book of Acts. I want us to turn to Acts chapter number 17. Paul went to a place in Acts chapter 17 called Berea. And here's what we can encourage ourselves from Acts chapter number 17 to be. We need to encourage ourselves to be like the Bereans. I want you to encourage yourself tonight to be like the Bereans. We're going to learn what happened here when Paul gets to Berea. The Bible says in verse number 10, and the brethren immediately, this is Acts chapter 17, sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. That's the Bereans. They're more noble than those that are in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. So they received the word of God. They were ready in their mind. They were prepared in their hearts to receive the word of God. But then notice what happens when they receive the word of God. Look at what it says, with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures. And what's the next word there? Daily. They searched the scriptures daily. Now, why do they search the scriptures? What is the reason for searching the scriptures? Notice what it said, whether those things were so. So scriptures were being examined so that they could arrive at a truth. That's why we learn the Word of God, right? That's why we study the Word of God. We study the scriptures. We endeavor to learn from the scriptures. We examine them so that we can arrive at the truth that God wants to teach us. And then what was the truth that they arrived at? First of all, I want us to look back up to verse number 11 one more time. Look at the very end of the verse. It says, whether those things were so. Well, what things were so? Well, the things that Paul and Silas had been preaching. The things that Paul and Silas had been teaching. Searching the scriptures. So they're not just taking the teacher or the preacher's word for it. They're going home for their own, aren't they? And they're learning the word of God. They're learning from scripture. And then notice what the Bible says it led them to do. Look at verse 12 at the very beginning of the verse. Therefore, many of them believed. Hey, they had a readiness of mind to receive the word of God. And then they searched the scriptures to see if they were true. And it caused them to arrive at a place in which they realized this is true. And it led them to believe. Now, how do we learn from the Word of God? Well, we learn from the Word of God as we read it, don't we? We read from the Word of God, and God teaches us things, doesn't He? Have you ever had a time when you've read through the Bible and you've learned from it just by reading through the Bible? All of us would acknowledge that's true. So we learn from reading the Bible. But then we learn from meditating on God's Word as well. Meditation. I heard someone once say it this way, that meditation is to the spiritual life like digestion is to the physical life. Think about that. We swallow our physical food and we digest it, don't we? What is meditation? Well, we swallow or take in the spiritual food and we're meditating on it, aren't we? We're chewing on it throughout the day, aren't we? We read it. God teaches us something, and I meditate on it throughout the day. Here's another great way to learn from God's Word. We learn as we read. We learn as we meditate. And then we learn as we study. There may be times when you've read, when you've meditated on something, you say, I just need to learn a little bit more about that. And so you take time on your own to personally study it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15 that we're to study to show thyself approved unto God, right? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Then he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there's no one that's sitting in here that would be able to say, you know everything that the Bible has to teach you. We're all still learning, aren't we? We're all still growing in the Lord. So we read God's word and we grow and we learn from it. And then we meditate on it and we learn and we grow from it. And there's some times where we might perhaps have to do some deeper study to make sure we're learning from the word of God. So how does all of this take place? This reading and this meditating and this studying? Well, you got to spend time in it every day, don't you? You've got to spend time with God's word each and every day. Feed yourself from it. You know, one indicator, at least what I've found from my children as they've grown up, one indicator of maturity in a child is when they start to feed themselves. Hey, I'm maturing. I don't need you to have to hold the bottle anymore. But now I've gotten to the place where I can hold the spoon and I can hold the fork. And I can be able to take of that food myself off of my plate and start feeding myself. That's an indicator that a child is maturing, isn't it? An indicator of a Christian maturing is the fact that we are feeding on the Word of God. We're desiring to learn from it. Maybe perhaps through a Bible reading schedule that you would have every single day. We presented Bible reading schedules to you here in various different ways. We had a chronological way of reading through the Bible last year. This year, our Bible reading schedule back there, maybe some of you are doing that. Maybe some of you have a different schedule you're reading through, or maybe a different way in which you're reading through your Bible. But we have a Bible schedule where you're reading through a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, a little bit of the Psalms and Proverbs throughout, or books of poetry throughout the week, all together, all at one time as you go throughout your day. Maybe perhaps it's the devotional book that encourages you in a daily way where you're reading the scripture that's found in there and reading through a devotional and you're learning from that. Maybe there's somebody in here that practices reading through a proverb a day. Maybe you say, hey, today is the 21st of March. I'm going to read the 21st proverb. And maybe you apply that in your life where you're reading through a proverb a day. But whatever it is for you, just to spend time in God's Word daily. Remember what it said they did, the Berean Christians? They searched the Scriptures how often? Daily. So that they could see if these things were true. So let's long for the Word of God, and then let's learn from the Word of God. But number three, how do we respond to the Word of God? Let's lean on God's Word. We long for God's Word, and we learn from God's Word, but let's lean on God's Word. You know, perhaps as you've looked back to the year of 2020 and all the different circumstances that we've faced with the virus that was in our country, of course, and around our world, and then with the election that took place here in our country at the close of the year and in the month of November, and just the uncertainty maybe perhaps in all of our minds as to which direction our country's going to go. Maybe perhaps in the year of 2020, and as you've pressed on here in 2021, maybe perhaps there'd be somebody that would say, you know, I've kind of learned to lean on God's Word maybe more than you ever have. That's what God is desiring from His children, that we would lean on His Word, that we would find help from it, that we would find strength from it. We'd be able to put our faith and our confidence in the Word of God, not in fear, not living in fear, not living with our just based upon our feelings, but to live by faith that comes from the Word of God. We lean on the Word of God, we trust it, and we depend upon it. Similar to what we were talking about just this morning, we take God's Word and we depend upon it. We see its value. We see its power. And we say, I'm going to depend upon it. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I want us to notice a few things in this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And something Paul says here about the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. If you would, go down once you found 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 down to verse number 13. I want us to notice the process that takes place in this verse that's found here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says here in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye," notice this, "received the word of God, which ye heard of us." So we're already seeing some steps there. You heard the word of God, and then you received it. So he doesn't say it in that order. He says you received it, at which you heard from us, but we know it goes in that order, doesn't it? So you hear it, and then you receive it. And then notice what it says. Ye received it not as the word of men, which, by the way, we could pause there just for a moment and say we understand that this is not the word of men, is it? It's the word of God. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? That this book is inspired. It is God-breathed. So Paul is encouraging the church of Thessalonica. He's saying, you didn't receive this as the words of men. It's not the words of men, is it? It's the word of God. So you heard it, you received it, and then notice what he says. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Okay, so we have a four-step process that takes place here in this verse. First of all, you hear the word of God, and then the Bible says that when you hear it, you receive it. Then after you receive it, you make a choice as to whether you're going to believe it. So I take in what I heard, and then I make a choice as to whether I'm going to believe it. So I believe the word of God, and then what does the Bible say that Paul says to the church of Thessalonica? Then it starts to work in you, doesn't it? It effectually works in you. So you hear it, you receive it, you choose to believe it, and then it starts to work in your life. Now, if we would go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6, it says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord." Now, how did you become followers of the Lord? Notice what it says next, "having received the word." So how do you become followers of the Lord? You receive the word. And so here's what Paul's saying. Hey, this church was founded on the word of God. You receive the word, the message of the gospel that was given to you. And that same word that brought you salvation, or the same word of God that brought you salvation, is also enabling you to live the Christian life. You're able to live Christ. And you're even able to have times in which you can endure or face suffering for the sake of Christ. Aren't you glad that when we lean on God's word and we depend upon it and we trust it, that when we do face times of suffering or perhaps times of valleys in our life as a Christian, we can find comfort and it can enable us to live for Christ and move on for Christ even in moments of suffering, even in moments of times of valleys that we go through in life. Here's what happened. Those Christians had embraced God's word. When they embraced his word, it had an effect on their heart, didn't it? It changed their heart. They heard it, they received it, they believed it, and it was working in their lives. And they found the word of God to be able to meet anything that they would ever encounter because they leaned on it for their strength and for their comfort. And that's what God asks from us today, doesn't he? He asked us to lean on his word. Someone once said this about the word of God. They said, "With every trial and every test," it said, "find a verse and let God do the rest." Think about that. With every trial and every test that you will ever face, find a verse for that trial. Find a verse for that test that you can rest on and you can lean upon. And just let God do the rest. When we go through times of trial and testing, aren't you glad that God's word is there for us? And that's what Paul is saying to the church of Thessalonica. He's saying, you've accepted this word in your hearts, and now you've been able to evidence it in your life. You've been able to put on display. We've been able to now visibly notice that you are leaning on God's word. And when you're going through times of trial and times of test, you're finding God's word to be your source of comfort. Let's long for God's Word. Let's learn from God's Word. Let's lean on God's Word. What's another way that we can respond to God's Word? Let's live God's Word. We long for God's Word, and we want to learn from it, and we want to lean on it, but let's live God's Word out. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse number 15, it says this. It says, if ye love me, he says, keep my commandments. So you're going to desire to keep his commandments. You want to live God's Word. It's not just about reading, but it's about heeding, isn't it? So we hear God's Word and we live according to what we hear. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 4, I'm going to read that verse for you tonight as well. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says this of the Word of God. It says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We read God's Word and we heed it. We ought to desire to respond to God's Word by living God's Word. And then probably the most familiar passage that we could use to live God's Word out is found in James chapter number 1. Verse 22, the Bible says this, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So it's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to do it. So we hear God's Word, and then we apply it. We put it into practice, or we live God's Word. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. I would imagine that there's probably some that are sitting here tonight. You wake up in the morning, you probably don't even have to look in the mirror. You're ready to go. You've got everything polished right from getting up out of bed. You don't have to do that. You don't even have to look in the mirror. But probably most of us would say we do, right? We have to look in the mirror. We have to fix the problem areas, right? So we look at the problem areas when we wake up in the morning and we say, all right, this mirror is not making me look so good here, but I'm going to try to fix the problem areas before I go out. That's what the Bible does, doesn't it? It's a mirror. It helps us to fix the problem areas. So we hear it. And then we respond, don't we? Look at what it says in verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, what kind of hearer is that? Well, that's the one who hears it, but yet he doesn't do it. But then look at the one who puts it into practice, the one who makes application of it. It says this, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, meaning he sees what the Word of God tells him he ought to do, and he makes the necessary changes and lives according to it, doesn't he? Notice what it says. He, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now the Bible is called a mirror. We understand it as being a mirror where we're looking into the mirror of God's Word. And there are some, when they look into the mirror of God's Word, they would rather change the Bible than change the problem. But God says, I don't want you to change the Bible. I want you to change the problem that you have. And so let us live out the Word of God in our lives. So it's not just a reading plan. It's an application plan, isn't it? It's not just saying, well, I'm taking out my reading plan every day and I'm scratching off that I read what I was supposed to read today. So it's not just a reading plan, it's an application plan. So each day, perhaps it would be good for us as Christians to take a truth that God has taught us from His Word while we're looking through our reading plan. We read and God teaches us a truth. And then to ask Him throughout that day that by the power of His Holy Spirit, we would seek to put that truth that He taught us into practice that day. So we learn something from God's Word, and then we say, God, with your Holy Spirit's power, this day, would you help me as I seek to put that truth into practice? So read the Word of God daily, but then also live the Word of God daily. But then can we look at the last way in which we need to respond to God's Word, and we'll be done. I want you to locate in your Bible one last place. I want you to look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a chapter, or a psalm, I should say, in the book of Psalm, that is all about, guess what? The Word of God. Psalm 119. And we're going to notice some things to finish off this message in Psalm 119. Here's what we've learned so far, how we ought to respond to the Word of God as we bring this message to a close. Number one, we long for it. And then we learn from the Word of God. We lean on God's Word. We live God's Word. But then, finally, number four, we need to love God's Word. We need to fall in love with God's Word. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 97. We'll finish with a few verses from this psalm and we'll be done. Verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day," the psalmist says. I've fallen in love with God's Word. Look down at verse number 113, if you would. "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." Down to verse 127, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Look at verse 159. "Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." Down to verse 163. "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." And then verse 167, the psalmist says, "My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." Do you love God's Word? Do you love the truths that we see within it? Do you love the author of this book? I hope we could say tonight that I respond to God's Word by loving it. I've fallen in love with it. Hey, if we love it, we're going to take care of it, right? Let's treat this Bible in a special way. Hey, I mean, we want to treat it in a way that's respectful. We want to make sure we take care of God's Word because we love it. Aren't we thankful we have it? Aren't we thankful that there was a time in which for our King James Bible, there were some translators that got together. And they took a few years throughout that process. And by the way, they didn't care how long they took. They wanted to get it right, didn't they? And they translated the Bible from the original languages so that we could have it for English, for us as English-speaking people. Aren't we thankful that we have God's Word? Let's fall in love with it. So let's long for God's Word. And let's long for the, not only God's Word, but the author of that book as well. Think about what the Bible says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Let's long for God and His Word. And then let's learn from it. Let's lean on God's Word. Let's trust Him. And let's depend upon Him. Let's live God's Word. And then let's respond by loving God's Word as well. Now we have some helps in our race. The Spirit of God. And then we have the house of God. And today we've talked about the Word of God. Now you know there could be somebody here tonight that would say, you know, tonight I just need to make a decision to, on a daily basis, get into God's Word more. To be faithful about it. Maybe perhaps even at the start of 2020, maybe for you in your heart, you made a commitment. You said, hey, our theme is press on, man. I'm going to press on when it comes to reading God's Word. And maybe you've had some times throughout this year already. We've reached towards the end of the first quarter of this year where you've said, I've fallen. You know, I haven't done what I should have done when it comes to reading God's Word and making it a daily part of my life. Maybe perhaps just to recommit that to the Lord tonight, or maybe to make a commitment for the first time this year to say, I'm going to treasure the Word of God, like Job said, more than even my necessary food. And I'm going to make sure it is a part of my life daily. It's a vital thing. And we've learned about its value today. We've learned about its power. We've learned about its nature. And aren't you thankful that we have this book? Let's respond to it the right way. So maybe God's dealt with you in some way when it comes to the Word of God in your life. I'm just encouraging you to make that decision that God would call upon you to make tonight when it comes to responding to the Word of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to remain in our seat with our heads bowed.